right.
Oh, my God, we're back.
Dude, we're back. Bro, I ran into Charlie Sheen. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah.
You did not tell me that.
On set, I shot this part of this project with Nick Swartzen. I just had a small role, and Simon Rex, and Charlie Sheen was there.
And?
He's just sitting there, just hanging out by like the kind of green room area or whatever.
Was he cool?
He was so cool, dude. He looked like a, you know, just like a guy that had been at spring break forever. But he was just electric and like right, just, it was just you and him just talking. He was very like right there. And
did he know, like, was he there? Was he in the conversation?
I felt like he was
like cognizant of it.
Yeah, I mean, he was there, and we just talked about, I was wearing a shirt about Michael Landon, and he asked about that.
Wait, were you wearing the shirt for the part?
No.
Okay.
I was wearing a shirt that says, "All Day I Dream About Michael Landon."
Wow.
And he saw that shirt, and he's like, did you make that shirt? And I was like, nah. Somebody had it made and gave it to me. And he's like, oh, man. I was like, I love Michael Landon. I was like, did you know him? And he's like, nah, I never met him. He goes, but I left rehab one time, and on the way out, his son, one of his sons was in rehab, and I walked by his door, and he's like, where are you going? And I was like, I'm out of here. Huh. You want to go with me? And he's like, sure. So me and his son went in rage for a week.
Wow, jeez. That's what he said.
Pretty interesting.
Charlie Sheen, man.
Yeah.
What was the role you were playing?
Oh, I'm playing waiter.
Ooh, that's the role you were born for. I know, dude. That is fantastic.
Even as great as things can get, sometimes you're still the waiter.
Oscar's so Southern.
Yeah.
That's the name.
Oscar might have been his name.
Yeah. All right, cool.
But it was cool. Yeah, it was in this show, Typical Rick, that comes out. It's on Comedy Central.
Oh, very cool. I mean, may have some news. We'll just tease it at that. Ooh. Ooh, yes, I may have some news. It's not a baby.
Right.
It's not a baby, but this is a tough fucking town.
Yeah.
And when you get a win,
mm-hmm.
it just, when I found this win, which I'm not going to talk about until it comes true.
Okay.
I cried.
Wow.
And it wasn't even about the specific project or anything. It was just about validation and just hard work and just like a chance.
You got a grinder match?
Yeah, I did.
Sorry.
Yeah, it was very sweet.
Sorry. No, I feel you.
No, I
man.
Got a second date. That's what it was. But it's interesting because we have someone coming in today, Orny Adams,
yeah.
who has, you know, his career has been interesting. He was in a documentary that didn't paint him in the best picture. And, you know, he's had ups and downs in that sense.
Yeah, he was in Seinfeld and he kind of played like the anti-hero who's made out to be sort of the... not the bad guy, but
right.
a little bit of a Batman.
So I think he's probably had a lot of disappointments and ups and downs in his career, and I relate to that. And I'm saying when something up happens, you got to enjoy it cautiously as much as you can. And I'm sure he can relate to that.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'll be able to tell you guys soon.
Yeah, man. Well, that's exciting. It's exciting, dude. You know, it is. It's tough to grab wins in this town.
Yeah. So yeah,
it's not easy.
Fingers crossed. But in the meantime, I've got this great podcast that I do with my buddy, Theo Vaughn.
Dude, and I appreciate it, man. You work so hard to make this podcast happen. And I want the fans to know that, you know, Matt does the editing and, you know, books the guests and I just appreciate it, bud.
Well, you provide the comedy.
Well, I don't know what it is, but I'm definitely looking for guidance and help. And I'm glad that I can't come here and get it each
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you guys, you may be seeing a TV version of Allegedly one day.
That's true.
Yeah.
Keep your fingers crossed,
guys. Keep your
guys.
Fingers crossed on that. Hint, hint. In the meantime, we've got Orny Adams.
Orny Adams, guys. This guy's had a storied career. He's one of the funniest guys in Hollywood, and we'll be right back with him. Dude, listen to this deal, bro. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Blue Apron has 3 free meals. That's what you get by signing up.
You get 3 free meals.
You get free meals, bro.
So if I'm hungry,
yeah.
and I'm broke,
yeah.
I can get 3 free meals.
3 free meals, dude.
Wow.
Who's ever given you 3 free meals besides your parents?
There was this guy I dated once who was a little bit of a sugar daddy.
Yeah, but those are small meals, dude. Barely enough to fill your mouth. I'm talking about real meals, bro.
Not only that, free shipping on these meals if you go to blueapron.com/allegedly. Mm-hmm. Now, Blue Apron, what is Blue Apron?
Blue Apron is basically, these are cooked, these are ready to cook meals delivered to your home. All the ingredients, all the portions set right there.
With the recipe.
With the recipe, everything.
And you just, you do it yourself.
You do it yourself, but it's so, it's 80% there.
Right,
you know,
right.
Most of the work is already done, and they're great meals. Spinach and fresh mozzarella pizza with olives, bell peppers, ricotta salata.
Sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger fried rice.
Mmm, my John. Parmesan crusted chicken, dude. Parmesan crusted chicken, that PCC with creamy fettuccine and rosa roccole.
With that CF and RB. Baby broccoli and fontina paninis with hard-boiled egg and arugula salad.
Fontina paninis.
You like when I say that?
Well, it sounds like they're not of age.
Fontina.
Yeah. Why don't you go for the adult paninis?
The fontina paninis.
But they're great meals, man. And Blue Apron, it's the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. And they can be delivered in 99% of the continental U.S.
And when you get it, and this is someone who's tried it, you feel good, it tastes good, you feel a little proud, you know, like I cooked a home-cooked meal to an extent, which is not something that I do very often. So it's like, you feel a sense of like, hey, I accomplished something.
Yeah.
And I'm full.
Yeah. And quit being a gnarly bear and just eating cereal, you know?
Yeah, I do love my cereal.
Yeah, and don't be some creeper that's just breaking up a protein bar into a bowl of cereal, you know? Like
some shit. I don't even put milk in. I just do the Cheerios in a cup.
You eat dry cereal,
yeah,
dude?
Yeah, I don't like
sociopath,
milk.
Sociopath, okay? There's also a list I'm about to put
for
you on.
For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers recipes along with the pre-portioned ingredients that you said to make delicious home-cooked meals. Less than $10. And they guarantee it. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee. Ooh, freshness guarantee. Promises every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. These guys are just like handing shit over.
Yeah.
Well, I love it. BlueApron.com/allegedly.
Yep, and the menu changes every week. Check it out. First three meals free with free shipping by going to BlueApron.com/allegedly.
BlueApron.com/allegedly, A-L-L-E-G-E-D-L-Y.
Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And if you want to see more of me, sorry, Matt, you're not invited. I will be at the Punchline Sacramento. That's a comedy club. And that's April 21st through 23rd, the Punchline in Sacramento. All right, welcome to Allegedly. I'm Theo Vaughn.
And I'm Matthew Cole Weiss. Hi, Theo.
Hi, good to see you, man.
You know who we have with us today?
I do know this beautiful young fella right here.
You are. That's the second or third time that you've mentioned beautiful.
You got beautiful eyes on him.
With reference, are you just trying to get points?
No. Yeah.
Well, the score is 3-1 right now. Theo is way up.
Okay.
That is the incomparable Orny Adams is here with us today.
Thank you for coming, Orny.
That was
Thank
Matt
you.
Clapping. I would never clap like that.
What was wrong with that clap?
It's definitely the kind of clap where at the end of it you might meet a dude. That's
You're the one who said he's beautiful.
I think he's, but still, I'm not going to clap like that at him.
Theo, who gives?
I think he has nice eyes, and I just didn't notice that before. And I just, and he's also wearing a shirt that really brings out some of his natural tone.
Theo, whose idea of a compliment is he looks beautiful for a guy, is what he said,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, or just beautiful. You could say that. Be okay with it. Own it.
But
or running high.
Do you think, even as a gay male, do you think that...
How many syllables is a male? You just...
A male?
It used to be one. Male. You just made it like four.
Oh, my bad, man. My syllables are acting up. I want to know, do you think that a man is more beautiful than a woman?
Me personally?
Yeah, and not just attraction, but just how you look at them. Like, do you...
I mean, it could be both. Yeah. Like, a beautiful man could be... Yeah, it could be both. I could recognize beauty in a woman for sure and say that's a beautiful woman.
Right.
I don't want to touch her vagina.
Right. So you don't want to venture with her. But what I'm saying this. Now, if I'm I would say that the most beautiful creature in the world, probably a woman or maybe an underwater creature that we haven't discussed. But would you say that the most beautiful creature in the world is a woman, or it could be a man? Because I don't know if I think about it from a sexual standpoint. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't. I'd say it could be either.
Could be either.
It could be either.
Okay, sorry to start off that
Orny,
way.
What do you think?
Yeah, what do you think?
I'm with Theo. There's no question that the female body is remarkable. It's just a piece of art, and it is to be worshipped. And that's it. And I think that the male body is, you know, it's got something to it, but it never has that, the curve and the, but that just might be, you know, the straight male perspective.
But can you recognize beauty in a man?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And its name is Theo Vaughn.
Wow, dude, I'm going to give another point to Marcus. Oh, jeez.
There's no question that, you can absolutely, a man can look at another man and say that man is attractive or striking or whatever,
right,
and not be attracted to that person.
Okay, Theo,
most
beautiful man and most beautiful woman.
Oh my God, dude. Well, you know the most beautiful man I've ever even seen, but not even seen because he's not with us anymore. Mr. Michael Landon. And you know that.
I know you think that.
And I also think Bill Clinton might be beautiful, but I've never seen him in person.
I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Was he beautiful?
Well, you know, he has such an aura. It's just, you're just like, wow, that's President Clinton.
Yeah. So,
but you don't know if it's because he was president or it's a God-given aura.
What? Huh. Where were you with the president? Oh, is this a good story?
Well, I've met a couple of presidents.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are you? Who are you, a hooker?
The Clinton one is bizarre. I was at LaGuardia Airport.
Yeah.
And I'm walking, and all of a sudden it got eerily quiet. And there was nobody around except one guy holding up an iPad. And I'm like, this is so surreal. And as I go deeper into the terminal, there's nothing. And then I get outside of one of the magazine stores, and there's another lady, one person just taking pictures. And I'm thinking, what's going on?
Like, so, I'm walking through something.
Was it closed? Am I where I'm not supposed to be? And so at this point, I felt like there had to be somebody famous because I started to see airport-type security people. And I thought, oh, no, it's going to be somebody annoying, like no offense to Justin Bieber, but something like a Justin Bieber, you know, somebody that I wouldn't get excited about.
A child, a fancy child.
Just a celebrity that I don't consider a celebrity.
Senior.
Yeah.
A senior.
But not even senior, just a celebrity.
Just a celebrity he's not interested in.
He's just interrupted me twice. Yeah. It made no sense the first time. And then he went with it again.
You're the one with the point.
He just lost a point. You just lost a point.
Unreal.
I mean, the flow.
Sometimes I need to translate.
So anyway, so she said, I said to Leia, I go, what are you filming? And she said, Bill Clinton is in there. And I was like, well, that is. And I look over and there he is reading the magazines and the Secret Service is everywhere. And within seconds, it was, you couldn't move. Mm. You couldn't move. There was just hordes of people. And he walked right by me. And everybody said something, but I didn't. And we made eye contact. And that was it. And I think I put up an Instagram. I go, this will be important. In fact, you know what I did? This is back. This is how long ago it was. I periscoped it. Mm. I go, here we go. I'm going viral.
Yeah.
Nothing. Not Kirk Fox didn't even like it. That's how pathetic it was.
I was in a room with Clinton once.
You look a little bit like Clinton. Has anybody ever told you that?
Like Clinton?
Which Clinton? George?
A little bit like President Clinton. I don't remember what his first name is. President Clinton.
Bill.
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton. Did you really forget his name?
Yeah.
That's what I love about you. And there's no shame at all in that, is there?
Dude, I was born ignorant, dude, and I plan to die that way, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Did you go to high school?
Yeah.
And did you graduate?
Yep.
And then you went to, did you go to college?
I went to adult college. I went to.
Adult meaning what? Like night school?
All adults. No, late afternoon mostly. My class was around 3. I did it all, dude. I'm an adult. Graduated in urban planning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Urban planner.
Wow.
So if you guys have a zoning issue,
you're your guy.
People don't think I'm that guy.
I was in a room with Clinton once at a funeral.
Wow.
No shit. I was at a funeral that he was at and spoke at. So you're in this small like room and then everybody was going up afterwards asking for pictures.
Did you feel attracted to him at all or no?
Attracted? No. But I felt really, I wanted a picture. But then I was like, oh, we're at a funeral. This is really like not okay. But then everybody else was doing it. So I was like, all right, I'll go up. And so I kept trying to do it, but every woman who was there wanted a picture.
Wow.
Got a picture. And I just kept going, oh, what? And he'd like kind of look at me. And then finally, I said to the Secret Service, because I was like, dude, can you like take a picture of me and Clinton? He was like, sure. So he took the camera and he's like, Bill. And then they took the picture of me with him.
But whose funeral?
It was a producer named Michael King who'd started King World Productions that did like Oprah Show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm very. I can tell you the day he died.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you really?
I can absolutely. I had a deal with
the day the deal went south.
I had a deal, and that was the end of it. The end of it.
He died. And did you get, now, how did you feel when that happened? Because this was an opportunity for you.
Well, you know, it's, in retrospect, I should have been more upset. I you know, I think I was excited with the upfront money.
Is it, has that been the, one of the biggest travesties, a moment like that where, because I've had moments like that too, where you have a pilot
so
that's
close.
Going.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then over the Christmas break, some guy gets fired, the guy mm-hmm. who championed yeah. your project at a network. And so then you come back there in January and you got nothing, you know, and you got no food. You don't have any oranges or anything, and I like it. I usually have a lot of oranges. But I'll say this, though. Is that one of the biggest kind of things that's happened like that to you? Or is, because a couple of them have happened to me, not as bad as that.
That's pretty unique.
That's not even close to the worst thing.
Really?
That's not even close. I mean, my whole career is just one tragedy after. It's a snowball of tragedy that keeps going down the hill, getting bigger and bigger. And people go, can't get bigger. And, well, just got bigger. You know, so.
Wow. Interesting.
But how do you stay so positive in it, man? Because every time I see you, always are, usually, it always some of your cracking jokes and keeping a pretty light heart about things, even though you come in heavy, but you also keep a light side at the same time.
Because I truly love what I do.
Yeah.
And I truly, when I'm on stage, you know, I was in Brea last weekend and doing six shows. And when I tell you each show was different, and to connect with an audience like that, you know, it's empowering.
Yeah.
It's empowering to know that we can do that. And so, you know, when you see me right before a show. I couldn't be happier.
Right.
And what are we going to do? There's nothing. This is all a joke. Everything we do is, you know, there are a ton of guys that could have been as big as, you know, let's take a Jerry Seinfeld, but there's a lot of luck and that goes with
yes.
this. And I think you and I are at similar points in our career. We have similar frustrations and
yeah.
it's fun to vent about it. But at the end of the day, you know, we're really lucky.
Yeah.
We're really lucky.
You know what I find very interesting about you is your voice and your look is an amalgamation of a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like in your voice, I hear a little Gilbert Gottfried, but I also hear Carol Channing.
Huh.
Can you say hello, Dolly, for me?
Hello, Dolly.
That was a little like Gilbert Gottfried. Oh. So now I want Carol Channing.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know Carol's voice, but.
And then you got a little Richard Lewis with the, like, the
yeah, he
feel.
Does have a little. That's
he's
what
like
it is,
a
like
handsome,
young Richard Lewis.
But more handsome.
Oh, now he's handsome, dude? You cop him up.
Hey, there we go. The points are racking up. Matt is killing
hour.
It. Yeah.
I visit. It's cool. Cool.
I want to know another one, and not to delve into any lower troubled points, but I mean, I had a night where I thought I was roasting Michael Gibbons. What's that guy's name?
Kirk Douglas.
Kirk Douglas. And he was dying.
First of all, Michael Gibbons even a real person, or you just made that name up?
I don't even know. Honestly,
okay. No, that's a person. That's like a producer or
yeah,
something.
Michael Gibbons.
Yeah.
He's yeah. Irish, dude.
Created Real World.
This is, there you go. This is why Theo and I work, because I know what he's trying to say most of the time.
But anyway, I thought it was roasting him, and it was just hosting an event that he was at.
Yeah.
And so I'm literally ripping this dude to shreds, and this guy's 96 years old and bombed in front of 1,200 people at the Beverly Hilton. And I thought my career was over.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, misery. Like, Robert Downey Jr. is like, man, at least in 10 years, nobody will remember this. That's what he told me backstage.
Wow. Has it been 10 years yet?
It was last week.
It's been about 8.
It's been, so you're almost there.
Things are coming around. But I've had, and I laid in my apartment for 2 days eating pills, you know, and I had some pills from.
What kind of pills?
Neighbors that had pills.
First of all, you're saying pills, right?
Pills, I thought I, but
P-I-L.
It's pills.
I'm giving him a point for that because I thought that was cute, the way you said that. Wow, I thought it was adorable.
Eat your pills.
What kind
and,
of pills?
Just various pills. That the neighbors had after they had some procedures. So
did you go knocking on the neighbors' doors? And
people
saying,
get me their pills because here's what happens: is a lot of people don't want to abuse medication if they're married. So in order to hide them, they'll leave them by me, and then come cop one every now and then when they need a little pick me up or set me down.
Wow!
And
okay.
And so I was holding a lot of these, you know, grams and milligrams for the neighbors.
Huh.
But anyhow, that broke my heart, man. It really made
of
me
course.
Feel miserable. So did you have another? Like, was there another any other moments like that where you? Because that, I mean, that's like you have a pilot that was on CBS, you know?
Yeah, I think the one when you were telling that story, I guess what came to my mind, and again, a lot of these stories I haven't even thought about for years.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's what's interesting about having a conversation like this. When I was in Boston, and we're going back to when I was just doing stand-up comedy, and you know, the scene was Bill Burr and Patrice O'Neill and Dane Cook and myself and Gary Gulman. These were the guys that we were kicking around every night doing, you know, tons of shows. It's just such a vibrant, exciting scene and time. It was great. And at one of the shows, this lady named Anne was there recruiting for Disney.
Mm.
And Disney flew me to Los Angeles for development. And I thought,
can see that.
I go, here we go. Here we go. How many times have I said, here, this is it. Goodbye. The plane's taken off. Goodbye, Boston. Goodbye, everybody. And I came out and I took the meeting with Marsha. And I stayed at the hotel across the street here, right here on Sunset, and I took the meeting.
Were you excited, huh?
Oh, they were handing deals out. I go, I'm going to get six figures, $100,000.
Wow.
I go, this is it. This is, you know what I mean? It was just because you have this delusional feeling about yourself as a performer that you are that special, and it's just a matter of you know, something's going to happen. You know, like young performers should be looking at me going, oh, that's so sad. he's still playing the Brea Improv.
To be fair, some of them maybe.
He's been doing it 24 years. He was in that documentary. He had a Comedy Central special. I go,
I don't know.
He's the old guy, and it's not, oh, look, it's not even sold out on Thursday. But, you know, and I'll admit it, I'm not one of these comics that's like, another sold out show. Bullshit, you know? I'll let you know when I'm selling. So anyway, they flew me out, and they said, I met with Marsha, and I thought it went great. But
you thought the meeting went great. You left out of there thinking it went great.
Oh, I when I tell you I went to Old Navy and I bought new clothing, I was Hollywood ready. Listen, this is before we knew how to dress.
Six figures. I'm going to Old Navy.
They had a ceramic dog in there. Remember that?
Matt just lost a point for being gay judgmental.
That is gay judgment. He did. And they had a ceramic dog in there, a Labrador.
Yeah. So then there was this move I've never seen before in my life. I met with the Marsha, and I'm not using last names on purpose.
The Marsha.
And they said, sit outside of Marsha's room, and we're going to decide if you're going to meet with her bosses, which would be the final point in getting a deal, or you're going to be on a plane later on tonight. And they put me on a plane, and this is before cell phones, this is before the internet, and I sat there. It was the loneliest, darkest point probably ever in my career. Yeah. And, you know, that was it.
And did you feel like Hollywood, that was it? I'd gone to Hollywood and they'd said no? Like, was there that feeling, or what was it just that she had said, like...
I should feel that every single day, and I don't. Because you have this, like, people have a will to live. How many friends do you have that you think, why don't they kill themselves? Like, their life is so pathetic. They complain every day. Yeah. They're doing nothing about it. They go, kill yourself. But the will to live, and the will to live in Hollywood is just as strong. I mean, I tell myself every day that something could happen, that the phone could ring.
Possibility.
I'll be honest with you. I'm sure I'm not alone in this. If I didn't know there was more out there, I would be as happy as you could be.
Yeah.
I enjoy my life. It's low stress. There aren't like multiple lawsuits because I have a lot of money, or women are coming after me, and there's not stuff in the tabloids about me. It's very easy, and I do very well, and I'm in a really comfortable point. If I had never heard about movies or TV shows, like if it was just about getting up on stage and connecting with those people in that moment, I would be so content. I'm not content because I put myself and measure myself against other comedians.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the illness. That's the illness.
Yeah.
And this is pathetic. There are people out there that look up to me.
Yeah. Oh, I'm one of them. I mean, there's a lot of people that do, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, you're a very storied comedian. I mean, people know that when you perform, it's going to be an amazing show.
I've never seen...
I think you've mastered... I mean, you can always get better at your craft, but I certainly think of you as a master of it, you know?
Oh,
I've never seen people work harder in a job than I have in scene comedians, because it, you, like you, Theo, you work so hard at it.
I'm sorry, Matt. Are you now not talking about me, but making it just general specific?
No, no. Yeah, that's a, I don't know you personally.
Can you take away?
Double bonus, Theo.
I don't know you personally, but I know him personally. It's such a struggle to be a comedian. It really seems like it really is, because there's also, like, seems like there's a dark side to it. And you certainly hear about it, but you guys work your ass off, and you got to do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I applaud that.
But, you know, I told myself if I ever went crazy or couldn't make a living, then just get the hell out. There's right. There's no shame.
Right.
Well, the good news in all this is I know Marsha. Her husband cheated on her. She's very alone, right? She's an alcoholic. She's very alone right now.
Is she really?
Yeah. Wow. But she has a separate life where she goes to sex clubs and stuff. But it's Marsha. Marsha,
now, do you watch Theo? Now, I'm going to pay you a compliment, too, because, you know, I knew you originally. You were the guy who was on Real World.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan of the show.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of MTV. I've been working on that great network for six seasons now.
Yeah, Teen Wolf, right?
We're in the same Viacom family.
That's true, right?
You know, do you get the Viacom discount when you buy Apple products? No. They'll give you like 3% off.
Really?
Yeah. It just chisels down on the tax
really?
A little bit.
Well, I didn't know that. Okay.
Is a Viacom? Yeah, you can probably get it. So anyway, so, you know, I obviously knew you from that, and when I saw you do stand-up, I go, this is gonna be horrible. But, you know, you really are a good stand-up, and I enjoy your work, and I enjoy watching you. And I think what I like about Theo is you're yourself on stage, and I think that's more than, you know, you could ask for of a person.
Yeah, I mean, I do enjoy it, and and just getting around to be around other comedians. I mean, the Comedy Store has turned into just like, I mean, it's great being up here. Do you love it up here now?
You know, I'm not even passed up here.
Are you serious?
Yeah, this is the one club. I do a lot of shows that are produced. Like, I'm here this Saturday night.
Yeah, because I see you all the time.
Yeah, but no, I've never. You know, I didn't come up here when I moved here. I was doing the Laugh Factory, and then I got banned from that club. And I still work the improv or work the comedy match. I get plenty of work.
Yeah, as long as you have enough work too.
I mean, comics being banned, it's such a silly notion, and it's
bizarre.
It's always bickering within.
What gets a comic banned? I mean, do you say something just so horrible, or is it more of a personal thing?
Probably the same thing to get a guy, I guess, banned from like a gay nightclub. I feel like they're probably very similar behavior.
Oh, you roofie the other comics?
Sometimes that could probably get you banned.
I was actually banned by another comedian.
Oh, wow. So, interesting.
That's the dark arts.
Yeah, I don't get that because, you know, the most...
You're not supposed to support each other.
You know, you should. Like, you know, comics should support other... I don't get it because you can't get anywhere in this business if the comedy community doesn't like you.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth. Mm-hmm. And it's taken me years to sort of rebuild my reputation after that documentary because... People sort of saw me as this arrogant guy. I can quote the LA Times, bereft of humility is how they describe me. And I can understand that. If you watch that documentary and you thought, Ornie is that way, I can understand. I sort of agree with you. And, you know, it's all part of growing up. And so it's taken me years to rebuild and sort of get out there and get out of my comfort zone, which included sort of approaching people like Theo and going, hey, dude, great set. You know.
It's really nice of you to say this. A lot of like, you know, superior comedians don't do that sort of thing.
When you look back at the documentary, do you have regrets as far as that side of it goes, like the way we came across or whatnot?
Oh, of course. Yeah. You know, but in one sense, yes. In another sense, no, that's who I was. Mm-hmm. You know, I could say, hey, they edited it in a certain way, and I can certainly have that argument, but no, that's who I was at that time, and I needed to grow up, and I've grown up. And I'll be honest with you. And, you know, Seinfeld said this to me once privately. He said, it's as if a guy had all his oxygen cut off when he was watching my last special. And he said, and you had no other choice but to fight your way up and get oxygen and get. So I wouldn't be the comedian I am today if I had an easier path.
Right.
Interesting.
That's amazing, man. It's really interesting. And and just to even get to have a documentary and get a perspective of your own life, because sometimes it's so hard for us to see ourselves, you know? I think that's just fascinating that you even had that opportunity, because who else at, you know, 25 years old or whenever you guys did that, or
it's 29.
29. And even gets that opportunity to get a mirror from a person, you know?
That's crazy.
And whether or not those people's perspective that, you know, created and directed it was accurate or anything, but even just to get that, to get a little glimpse of kind of, you know, how you are.
Wow. Theo, we're not going to make a documentary about you.
Please don't.
Well, I think you're fishing for
it. This is me trying to refrain from masturbation, really.
Okay.
You know, I think what would be fascinating if I ever go back and look at it, and the last time I saw it, I was sitting next to Seinfeld, would be, you know, just sort of, I was a guy who didn't understand Hollywood at all.
Yeah.
I'm a guy shopping at Old Navy.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, I didn't get it.
When you get some money. Yeah. Like, you know, finally get some money.
If it was me now, I would know, I'd borrow money to get the right clothes, I'd get a publicist, and I would be thinking about everything I say. Like, including right now, there are times like I'm in my head thinking. And that's unfortunate because there's something really beautiful about a guy, you put the camera on, you know. The reason I got in the documentary was I was insulting Seinfeld, and he heard it.
Huh.
You know, awesome. We can destroy his life.
Yeah.
What's your relationship with him now?
Very little contact.
Yeah, very little contact.
Yeah, I do believe deep down inside, and I could be wrong, that he is supportive of me and enjoys what I do.
Yeah.
But we don't have contact.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I want in an everyday sense.
I want to go back to Teen Wolf because it's ending.
Yeah.
And is it true you're back for the finale?
I don't know what I'm allowed to say.
Can you just, can we get that?
Yeah, yeah. Just how once if it's a yes, how twice if it's a no.
Are you a fan of the show?
Or I've seen it. I'm a fan of Colton Haynes.
Yeah, I can see that. He just got married.
He's got engaged.
And, engaged, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He got engaged and fuck him. I mean, this is my dream guy. And did you see the engagement video?
No, I saw it on the front page.
He had... His guy, who is apparently perfect, not only had candles in the beach and everything, he had Cher do a video for
They're
him.
Gay men, both of them?
Yes.
Colton? Okay. I didn't know. You said another man. Cher was in there?
Cher, he got a video saying Cher herself saying, Colton, you know, say yes or whatever. Like, you guys are going to have a great life together. Like,
wow.
Fuck that. I mean, the guy's gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Yeah. How do the... I'm just jealous. I'm so ignorant.
No, it's all right. I'm way ignorant there than you'll ever be.
Can I write the question down for you to ask?
No, go ahead.
Are you... how do they decide which one proposes?
That's a great... No, that's a great question.
That's a great question. I don't know. I have never done it before,
that's
but
a
I...
great question.
How do they decide who proposes? I don't know how they decide it. I guess it's tradition now. It's tradition with a guy and a girl that a guy proposes, right?
Yeah, right.
But in this day and age, can a girl propose? No, it's still tradition. I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe it's the more dominant one, you know,
is
like
that what
in
we
the
call
relationship.
A top? A power top?
Maybe.
A power top.
And maybe the bottom's waiting for the top to get the ring.
Imagine that. A gay couple. Here's my movie. Gay couple, they both want to get married. Yes. They're both waiting for each other to propose, and it never happens.
That's beautiful. Yes. Now, were there relationships in Matt in your life where there, say, if there's a man that in that relationship you would have imagined that he would have been the proposer?
Oh yeah.
And then other ones where you would have been the proposer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. I maybe it's just you something you feel in the relationship of the way it goes. But I'm also someone that. I wouldn't, especially at my age now, if I wanted to be with someone and get it, I just wouldn't, I wouldn't be waiting.
I got it. Is there gay court? Because here's my other show, Gay Court, and I'm the judge.
Well,
and I make judgment on gay issues.
Maybe in Dubai, and that doesn't.
The guy who has the most money to buy the ring proposes.
Yes,
very fair.
Yes,
that makes sense.
Yes, that's very true. So going back to Colton Haynes, so you've been around him, obviously.
Yeah, he's a dear friend.
He's a dear friend.
And I'll show you something on my phone when we get off.
Is it something I could get off?
It's Teen Wolf related. It's not it's like a sexual. It's
he's a good guy.
I got to tell you something. He's one of the nicest, sweetest people.
Wow.
I absolutely adore Colton. And that's not any Hollywood. Ask me about somebody else so I can crap all over him. So
we'll get to that.
I cannot stand him.
Yeah. Who'd you say?
Merv Griffin.
Merv. Oh.
I just met with him yesterday.
He'll probably die soon.
So we're going to assume by not saying anything that and from what I've read, that you're in the finale of the Teen Wolf.
I get back. I do think if you search,
it's out there.
It's
yes.
out there. Okay. It's out so there, then it's it. Out there. Then I guess I am.
So
I honestly don't know what episode. I just show up and they hand me a line, and then sometimes I say it, sometimes I don't, and then roll awesome. The cameras, and then that's.
Did you ever see yourself as like an animal or be in the animal game like that?
No, I didn't. I imagine none of this. The executive producer of the show was a fan of mine. He'd go watch.
That's crazy.
He actually saw me. This is true. We'll bring it back to the. God, this stupid documentary's got to get out of my life, and it's my fault. I brought it up.
Your documentary. I think it's part of your lore at this point. I mean, I don't think it's inhibit. I don't know what your life has been like with it, but as an outsider and even an insider, a little bit as a comedian, I think at this point, it's just a part of your past.
But also your perspective on it now is different in that you look at it and you see, like, that's who I was then and that's how I got to where I am now. So it's like a necessary part of it.
Dude, there was a ton of time where I would love to have that credit.
Oh, really?
Oh,
I've never used it. What would you use it for?
For anything, dude.
Yeah.
I was pretty much the co-star of the Seinfeld documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
Who else gets to say that?
Yeah, you just say it. Like, people don't have to watch it.
You can have it. I'm giving it to you right now.
Like, you're Woody Adams.
I'm leaving it in my will to Theo.
What can people, without giving away too much, expect from the finale?
I think that...
is it a finale that has... is it an open-ended sort of thing?
I don't... I can't comment on it. And I will be honest with you, now that it's over... I read very few of the scripts.
I love it.
I read my scenes, and then sometimes I would try and read them without even reading the direction.
This is awesome.
Way to phone it in.
You're
coach.
The best, man. But you were phoning it in. You were just. Doing
no,
the
I knew
doing.
The guy.
I'm just kidding.
I knew the guy.
Finally, I know the guy.
I knew the guy. And I also knew that he knew nothing about the supernatural.
Right.
That's so great.
So
man.
You have seen Colton Haynes naked?
I don't know.
Now, is he a boy or is he a man?
He's a man, but he's pretty young looking. I mean, he's not like underage.
What his body looks like, really young or adult?
He's pretty young looking. He's pretty like.
So you're like a buff.
Beautiful. Oh, like Abercrombie and Jock.
Oh, he is. He was an Abercrombie model.
Yeah, he's like, he's perfection in that sense. So if you want to give him my number.
But let me ask you a question.
He got some fiance.
Oh, this is Hollywood.
Really? Don't you? What type of guy do you go
for?
What type of guy do you get? Do you get a guy like that?
Occasionally. Yeah. For like hookups. Not necessarily for like dating that much. Which I don't do much of anyway, but yeah, that's part of my problem is that's what I love.
Then a gay man tried to kiss me one time outside of a party, off of
I don't know this
Olympic Boulevard.
Well, that's where
it's
all the gays
always
are.
Always off of Olympic. It never happens on Olympic.
Yeah.
It's the dark side of Olympic,
really,
the south side.
Yeah, the south side of Olympic. Like I was just saying bye to him, and I'd never really been that. You know, I'd never been around a gay gentleman, especially in the evening. And,
oh, that's when they turn evil.
Well, I don't know about that, but that's certainly when we all get a little deviant.
Okay.
Was this during your two-day bender on prescription pills after your show at the Beverly
Hills? Peels.
Hilton or wherever it was.
On your peels.
I don't know when
peels.
This was a long time ago, man. And he just kind of tried to like kiss me on the mouth whenever we were saying bye to each other.
And
I just kind of like moved my face, kind of got me a little bit on the lips and a little bit on the whisker area.
Do you think you caught it?
I don't know. What age is this?
I don't know. Homosexual.
Oh, no. When I was young, a fella came on my arm at the movies and I thought I'd caught it.
What happened?
This guy got ejacked onto me at the movie theater.
What? Have you heard this story?
I have.
Oh, you have?
I never heard the kiss, but I've heard the jack off on the arm.
His girlfriend ejaculated him onto my arm, and I thought he was homosexual.
Did you turn around and like Did you want to punch him?
No,
did you?
No, I just broke down inside. I didn't know what to do anymore.
Did you wait? Did you? This I don't know. Did you like leave it there? Did you wipe it off? Did
oh,
you?
I went and wiped it off, but I just.
What did it taste like?
Oh, mint. But I may have had some mint on my arm earlier today. So.
Were you alone?
Were you alone?
No, there was a group of us, but I just happened to be in the front of this group, and this dude was sitting with his girlfriend, and the guy was kind of wild anyway, and he died like a couple years later in a truck accident.
Oh,
he was in an accident with a truck.
Well, it was funny.
Well, that's karma. That's karma.
points for you.
No, that's not even.
No,
that's
it's funny. Not. No.
I wouldn't even accept those.
No, I wouldn't. I that's why I said in a mocking voice because clearly I had no respect for that line. I didn't believe in it. I just wanted to say it before somebody else did. If people are tuning out at this point, I get it.
Do you feel? I mean, because I think you know your career is interesting because you kind of not wandered into this Teen Wolf role, but it was somebody you knew, somebody who respected your art.
Yeah.
Did you feel like? Because I'm sure over the years you went on tons of auditions and all of that.
Well, I thought, here we go.
Yeah.
I'm in a pilot. Now the career, because it was always like, if you can get cast on a pilot,
yeah,
right, then the next year it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
I've been on a show for 6 years and it's led to nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. This career, it's like, I should be studied. I'm like the person that can't get that one disease.
Yeah.
Like they should open me up and go, okay, we got to
like
figure
the
this.
Last African.
None
like
of this makes
African.
Sense. We got to open them up and find out why. This never happened.
I love when Angry Carol Channing comes out. This is my favorite part of the day is when Angry Carol Channing comes out. I'm actually interested. I was reading about some of your jobs you did before being a comedian, including working at a mental hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And security guard.
That's
no
yeah.
You
yeah.
gotta speaking.
I that tweeted you, that on Instagram. You can see a picture of me in uniform.
No, what do you no, gay guys like anything in uniform.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, the thing is, it's I do, but yeah. You assumed that I do.
Oh, you put a woman in army fatigues, and the gay guys are like, I'm
it's definitely a little more of a possibility in that sense.
No, but I mean, that reaction was uncalled for. Yeah. I mean, like if there was a beautiful woman here, and she said, hey, there's a picture of me on Instagram in a miniskirt. We're not fighting it, are we?
Yeah.
Well, you just assume that gay guys like
I could have looked at Theo for that one. He's kissing guys and being just laid it on, but
this
I didn't.
Man rested part of his lips on my
Theo, you have something on your arm. Yeah. Horny.
Theo has a tattoo of the outline of the
So, but I'll say this, man, you know when it's semen that hits you, you know.
Well, I can agree with that. I can tell. He's right.
Because you could think it's indoor bird shit, you know? You'd be like, oh, that's indoor bird shit.
Here's the question. Do you remember the movie you were seeing?
Yeah, Pumpkinhead.
It's not even worth seeing.
It's a movie about an angry vegetable. It's not bad, but it's not great. It was around that Pet Cemetery time. It was during that whole, you know.
Do you think you could watch that again? Like we all sat down and watched it.
Are you traumatized?
Yeah, I was traumatized.
Not without long sleeves and gloves on.
We treat it like the Rocky Horror Picture Show. We'd load up like squirt guns
That is brilliant. Okay. So going back, mental hospital, you must have crazy ass stories from that.
Yeah.
Like I can't even imagine. I mean, I've been close to being institutionalized myself.
Yeah.
That's the closest I've gotten
to it. Institutionalized by the church as far as they're concerned.
Oh, stop it. What was it like working in a mental hospital?
You know, probably more sad than anything.
Yeah.
You know, there's some, but there's also a lot of people that you couldn't tell if they were doctors or mental patients. And
oh, like Dream Team. Remember that movie with Michael Sheen?
Can you say mental anymore? Like, what's the dumb millennial word that we have to replace with mental?
Like triggered.
I don't think that's it.
Like Larry's so triggered, he's
like cerebrally handicapped.
Yeah.
Is that what
like
it is?
That.
No,
yeah.
I think mental. You know, or handicapped in general.
I noticed a thing with comedians sometimes they'll really try to relate to the. Were you like? Did you when you first got the job at the mental health facility? Did you think that you could relate to those people that you like?
I was just there trying to make money.
Yeah,
that's it.
So you weren't trying to
like. Act like a patient?
Like get into the... Yeah, were you...
No, but they had a... I would do the midnight shift.
Wow.
Like this midnight, is like a horror movie.
Yeah, midnight to 8 in the morning. And one time a guy cut the vein in his neck and it was squirting blood everywhere.
Uh-uh.
And that guy died. We had to go in there for that.
Did any of it get on your arm?
They were showing, what was the movie, Pumpkinhead?
Was that scary when that happened? Like, was that...
You're so young, nothing, it's like, it's bizarre. But they also had a brain bank. And you'd go into the brain bank. They take brains of dead people, put them like in jars.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, you
know. To like study them?
Yes. Okay. Yes, where I should be someday. Okay, where's the failure section? Take a right at the Orny Adams head. Oh, actually, that's it. That's the can't succeed with talent section right over there. Yeah, but he's still, he's still smiling. The brain has a smile face on it.
Are you kidding? This is why Theo and I, the reason we connect is at rock bottom. That's where it is.
How did you guys get together? This seems very unlikely.
We were watching Pumpkinhead.
Yeah.
Yes, and sure actually, it was below Olympic. And I went to, what I remember is he came to one of my birthday parties, like when I first moved here through a friend, and I liked him. I mean, we're completely different, but we have mutual respect and kind of like a connection on that mental level, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of respect. I think whenever we get it, you know, we get past the bullshit and stuff that, you know.
Do you guys hang outside of this?
Not that much.
Not
sometimes.
Not as much anymore. Yeah, now that we've been doing this, not as much anymore.
Do you think like a new level of anxiety entered the world of comedy with all of the way that things are now? Do you
Absolutely.
Feel it?
Absolutely. Oh, In fact, you know.
A TMZ all the time, that's one of their things now is videos of comedians on stage losing it, saying mm-hmm. something that's racist or inappropriate, getting in fights with the audience. Mm-hmm. It's like a whole, that probably wasn't a thing years back.
Well, Michael Richards broke ground with that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
For better or worse.
Yeah, you know, my thing is that in order to be up there, you have to be so in the moment and say things that, you know, like you may say something. It's like the intention behind it needs to be considered. And, you know, to be honest with you, I did Conan last month, and at the last minute, I pulled a line because I was afraid that it wouldn't be. Like, if you watch me for an hour, you're going to understand what I'm about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to get that, like, it's farcical. There's buffoonery. There's exaggeration. There's things that are supposed to push buttons and stuff like that. But if you hear it in a 5-minute set, you could pull that and you could go after me. And I pulled it and it screwed up the rhythm of the set. But yeah, it's really tragic. It really, really is because everybody is too sensitive. Like everyone's got to just chill out.
Yeah.
They really do. It's gotten, you know, people have attacked me for things and a lot of things that I'm really supportive and they think I'm not being supportive and you're attacking a supporter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fair. Yeah, no, it's a very good point. I actually personally believe comedy, like everybody relax, but I can see where a couple of them could be offensive to people.
Absolutely, but not.
But you're at a comedy show,
and that's the thing. If you were at the show and you're offended, I get it. That's one thing. But then when you take something out of that show and put it outside of the show into the world, and then people are offended, it's almost bizarre to do that because you weren't at the show.
Yeah, there's a very special thing going on between the comic and the audience. So even like the clip I posted yesterday. Okay, it was such a great moment, and it looks great on tape, and it looks great on what I posted, but it isn't as great as if you were there and you were in the context of all of it. And even within that moment, something great happened to this guy, and I created a moment in his life that will be arguably the greatest moment he will ever have. And everybody was cheering, and his wife was tearing, and I just said, we just did for this guy what Make-A-Wish could never do. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm going to post it, and somebody's going to come after me for saying that. It's like you can't. But you can't feel that inhibited. Yeah. Like, it's really important, and I'll take myself out of the equation, because I'm not like a guy who's like looking to break ground. I'm not looking to like bust through walls and be known as this like comic that like changed things. I'm up there just to make you laugh and escape your problems for an hour and maybe point out some commonalities. You know, in fact, my comedy is about bringing people together.
Yeah.
I want people to see the universals of humanity and human and all that stuff rather than point out our differences and make people feel uncomfortable. But it is the artist's responsibility, and I'm talking, you know, people that paint and people that make music and people that do comedy and whatever it is, to push the boundaries and to create questions. And I may be incorrect about this, but I'm going to say it. I do believe that when I started doing comedy 20 years ago, there were a lot of jokes about homosexuality, and I think we created a discussion that has made it more mainstream and quote-unquote acceptable now, and I think that that is fantastic. And you see it going on now with whether it's whatever topics. It was pot for a while, and look where that went. And I think that let the comics discuss these things, and maybe you have an adverse reaction to it, maybe you have a positive reaction, but a discussion is being had, and hopefully the world moves in the right direction.
I was going to ask what the line was that you took out, but I guess it doesn't make sense in probably without the entire thing, like you said, the experience, like the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, what I was going to say was, and I say it in my live show, so someone could easily videotape it and stuff like that, I go after the millennials. I call them dumb millennials because we don't even know what like everything's so confusing now. Right. Like, I don't even know what gender I am anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I know I don't want to be a white male, middle-aged white male. I can't even have an opinion.
That's true.
And I pulled that line because I didn't think that I thought it could be taken out of context, and I didn't want it to be like I was being considerate towards transgender, because I am the most tolerant, you know, person when it comes to those things. There's a clip on the internet where I'm getting into a really smart, what I think, discussion with a guy in Kentucky who didn't want to go into the bathrooms in Target because of they were transgender. Mm-hmm. So I'm behind the cause. And what I'm saying there is I'm not mocking people that don't know what gender or feel they were born female when they have male genitalia. What I'm saying is everything is ambiguous now, and it's making me question myself, but in an interesting way. And it's making it comical. But we can't see it that way anymore. All people hear is he doesn't know what gender is anymore. Right. He knows he's a male. He's mocking the transgender community. Yeah. And that's what's dangerous. And that's what's unfortunate. And I thought, and this is my knee-jerk reaction to being the guy from Comedian, I don't need more shit. Mm.
They had this girl I used to date, and she liked to date urban men. And when I would make love to this young lady, but she would make me, not even joking, like she liked to put bronzer on my arms to make them darker. So if I'd be behind her, it would almost seem like she was dating like a darker
gentleman.
Why
didn't she just date a black guy?
I don't know why. And I don't know what had happened if she'd had a fallen out with a gentleman like that.
Wow. That is...
But that was crazy.
I've never heard that one before.
So like I would be like kind of over and just have like these dark arms, dude. And that's what she was into.
Wow.
How did we get from my...
It's Theo. It's Theo thoughts.
I love your attitude, man.
It's Theo thoughts.
But do you ever think, does it sometimes bum you out even a touch that you're afraid to speak sometimes your mind fully?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, me too.
It bums me out because I wish I had the courage, but I know I'm one misstep away from losing everything. Yeah, I mean, there's stuff on my I haven't done another comedy special because I can't sell a comedy special right now. But I haven't done one since 2010, and I'm doing bits about fat kids, and you can't do fat kid bits anymore. Like, it's even something I did 7 years ago you can't do. So I it really, really bothers me because, you know, it would be fun if we lived in a world again where you know you could make fun of people. You make fun of me for being Jewish. There we go. We just lost more people.
I just heard the stop button on a lot of
everybody us. Just said, oh, you know what? I'm going to get out now and get my coffee. I've been sitting here listening to this guy. Didn't realize the know-it-all was Jewish, too. One of them people. You know, you should be able to joke about this stuff as long as the intention. So you can take that Michael Richards clip and you can decide for yourself. Did he mean what he was saying? Yeah. And if he meant it, it's a horrible, horrible thing. Did it come from a dark place? But you should be able to joke around because that's how we connect with people.
It's just a tough line because, you know, there are people who will use a term or something even as a joke. I mean, it's a blurry line between offensive and funny for certain people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's just a fine line.
Well, it's not a fair scale overall. And I mean, it's weird. Like, it's weird. Like some of the last people that can even be judged anymore are white people in a weird way. Like the media's really cornered themselves. And I think that's the thing that's going to come back to bite them some is that you know, there's no one else you can even point a finger at.
Well, you could just put on your bronzer and you'll be fine.
Well, that's a good point, dude, but that's only my arms.
Oh, that's only the arms.
And is that illegal? I feel like this girl's making me do illegal activities.
But you consented.
Yeah, this guy did. It's like blackface. I understand. That's definitely offensive. I get it. But if you're black arming just for making love purposes.
And what Theo isn't telling us, which I think is absolutely fascinating, is there was a part of his arm that never, it just stayed white. And it was the outline of Chad's.
Way to bring up the pumpkin head. Well, let's wrap it up. And we each have 30 seconds to
convincing.
Give our final plea as to why we should win.
To convince Ornie Adams. Okay.
To convince Mr. Adams. It's up to you.
All right. I'll
start. You
want
to go first?
I'll go 30 seconds. Oh, Mr. Ornie.
Start yours.
When I was just a, sorry. When I was just a child, some fella came along with the movie, so, and I remember sitting there with my little girlfriend at the time, and she was Polish, and we both had a haircut like a young lesbian, and I just remember that fella came on my arm, and it was just such a hard growing up with that seed on my arm, you know, like they used to call me Johnny Armel Seed, and it was just a tough time, man, and I love werewolves, man, and I'm going to take you out with this beautiful note.
Time. Thank you, Al Sharpton. There was a little like Al Sharpton to that.
I go Sharpton.
Okay. Ornie or Miss Channing. Which, by the way, I just heard Owen Wilson in there too. You are an enigma of voices. I love it. Did you do voiceover work?
Don't call
you should,
him that, bro. We don't use those terms.
Not only am I a member of the tribe, but we have something else in common.
J dropping.
We have something else in common.
That's funny.
I do not eat fish, and I have never in my life.
This. He's done his research.
Ever tried even taste it? It was not allowed in my house growing up.
Oh, wow.
My dad hasn't either. So I have to this day never had any kind
of
fish.
Your second generation.
Fishless.
Well, you put other things in your mouth.
And I'm getting... Well,
there you go. So here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
First of all, Matt, who I've never met before, this has been a wonderful experience.
Thank you.
And certainly he's somebody that I may need a favor for someday. You know what I mean? Like he could really help pop my career, like if I need to plant a story about myself. Theo, I'm thinking just business-wise. Theo... is in the same business as me, and he really, I saw it in his beautiful, piercing eyes.
Thank you.
He really, really appreciates what I do as a comedian, and that means a lot to me. And you are both equally funny. Matt does more research. Mm-hmm. You say dumber, funnier things.
Matt can read. His reading is stronger than mine.
I can read. That's fair enough.
I mean, I'm sure every comic has said it's a draw, right? There's been a lot of those.
No,
because it really feels.
We actually get a lot of people who just who go one way or the other, and we don't get our feelings are not hurt one way.
Well,
or the other.
I'm going to say this: there was a point in the middle where I was so engaged by you guys that I actually stopped keeping score. So that needs to be taken in consideration.
That's awesome. Okay.
And there's no question that the Russians have hacked this election result, and it's a redo. It's an absolute tie. I can't
take
pick
it.
A winner.
All right. All right.
I love you both equally.
Thank you,
Ornie, man. It's a real pleasure. It's just nice to get to spend time with you
and
you
have
a little
real
better.
Conversation about this sort of stuff. Do you have some show? This is going to release on Tuesday. Do you have some shows or anything you want to plug coming up? That people can go see, or
not really. But honestly, I always just ask people if you enjoyed what you heard to go download Theo's new CD.
Yeah, there we go. I love your attitude, Ornie. Thank you, Ornie.
All right, Mr. Ornie Adams, thank you for coming in here. And
it's been a pleasure. We come back sometime.
Yeah, come back sometime. All right, bye, guys. Thank you.